ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रिया सार्वभूतात्मभूतात्मा कूर्वान्नापि न लिप्यते। One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna, just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree. He knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all. He is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of his being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because, as has already been explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually, as the soul cannot be slain. So, spiritually, no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the actions of work. We are reading from Sri Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 5, Text 7. The chapter is entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Bhagavad Gita explains that without work, one cannot live. That real renunciation is not giving up our duties, but rather performing our duties in knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Krishna explains in fourth chapter, to understand how everything is related to God. It is explained here also, everyone and everything is related to the Lord. How is that? Krishna explains, Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Everything, material and spiritual, is emanating from the Supreme. Sarva karana karanam. The Absolute Truth is the cause of all causes. Matha parataram namyat kinchit asti dananjayat mai sarvamitam proktam sutre manikana eva. Krishna tells that everything is resting upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So the essence, the heart of everything is spiritual. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanat. And every living being which gives life is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is compared to the sun, and the living beings are compared to rays of the sun. They are of the same quality as the sun, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. That is the nature of life. When life enters into a particular body in a particular species, there is growth, there is consciousness. What is the nature of that life? That is the fundamental principle of spirituality according to Bhagavad Gita. To understand who we are and who everyone else is. We have various dresses. We may be a man or a woman, or we may be American or Russian or Indian. We may be black or white or red or yellow. We may be old or young. Vasam sijanani yathavihayana vani granati naroparani tathasarirani vihaya janani anyati samyani navani dehi. These are different stages within different forms of dress. But who is the person that is residing within this body, that is animating this body, that is experiencing the pleasures and the pains of this body? Najayate mriyate vakadachya nayambudva bhavatavanabhuya ajo nitya shashvato yampurano nahanyate hanyamanesari. That is the spirit. And that spirit is not born and can never die. It is eternal. Why is it eternal? Because it is part of God. Just like we sometimes say, like father, like son, or chip off the old block. In a similar way, we are all part of God. Aham bija pratapita, he is the father, the mother of every living being. The soul is eternal, just as God is eternal. But the Upanishads describe the oneness and the difference. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobidadati kaman. That there is one supreme eternal, that is Parabrahman, God, Krishna, called upon by various names, by various people in various places. And there are also innumerable eternal living entities. Wherever there is life, there is the presence of such a part of God. The difference is, the One Supreme is completely independent. And we are always dependent on the Supreme. We are always subordinate to the Supreme. Two qualities described of the Lord which are very prominent are abhigya and swarat. He is all-knowing and completely independent. Being infinitesimal parts of the Lord, we have some capacity to know, and we have minute independence. We have free will. That is one thing that God will never take away from anyone, is their free will. Because without free will, there cannot be love. And the ultimate pleasure of life is to experience love. In this world, there is a reflection of that. But in the spiritual realm, the full-fledged manifestation or fulfillment of all of our aspirations are achieved. So, that independent free will, we have the choice to either be subordinate to Krishna in love or subordinate to Krishna in competition. For those who want to compete with God by wanting to be the enjoyer, be the proprietor, this material energy, material energy is composed of 8 fundamental elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, and on a subtle plane, mind, intelligence, and the false ego. And as the soul is identifying with these elements, thinking, I am this body, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, dukalayam ashashvatam. So many problems, because everything's temporary, but we're eternal, and we want something eternal. It's our nature. We don't want some temporary flickering happiness. We want eternal satisfaction. We want eternal love. But that's our nature. So the laws of karma work very unbiasedly. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, the laws of nature work the same way. Whether you're a tiny child touching fire, or whether you're the fire marshal touching fire, you're going to get burnt the same way. That is the law of nature. Gravity. Whether you're an infant baby falling from the crib, or whether you're most highly awarded and paid basketball star jumping up, you're going to come down. You can't keep going up. You have to come down. That is the laws of nature. And the basic underlying principle of nature is karma. Law of thermodynamics. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. So whatever we do, whatever we speak, there will be a reaction. And according to what we do, not only is there a physical and mental reaction, but there's also something else that happens. Whatever we do, we develop a deeper seated inclination to do that within our hearts. That is called kutam. Kutam means that inclination within the heart. That inclination manifests as bijam, or a particular desire, and then that desire drives us to act or to speak. And then there will be another reaction, prarabdha, aprarabdha. Prarabdha means when we perform a sinful activity, the reaction comes upon us. It may come through the body, the mind. There are threefold miseries: miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, miseries caused by natural disturbances. But aprarabdha means that our activity has not yet fructified. It's dormant. And it creates that deep seed for more inclination. On a very gross level. Just like you smoke cigarette. Huh? Now, smoking cigarettes, the long-term reaction is you may get sore throat, you may get lung cancer. But that may be years down the road. I remember when I was a little boy, nobody knew that cigarettes were bad, at least the public. Everyone thought it was fashionable. And there were some famous Hollywood stars who, how they smoked their cigarettes was so charming. The men did it very masculine. The women did it very romantically. And people wanted to look like them. It was cool. So they always had one always had it hanging from his lip. And years later, he got cancer of the lip and the throat. But by that time, it was too late. By his influence, millions of people started smoking. So yes, way down the line, you may get cancer as a reaction. But every time you smoke, what happens? You become more addicted to it. The inclination, the proclivity, the need to smoke gets more and more and more on a subtle level. So that is how karma works. And according to karma, there are 8,400,000 species of life. And every living entity, every soul is within a particular type of body and is enjoying and suffering various experiences simply as reactions to our own activities. We make our own destiny. Some people ask, do you believe in predestiny? Yes. But right now, you're making your destiny. Whatever we do, whatever we speak, we're creating a future environment that we must, by the laws of nature, experience. If we do good, we get good. If we do bad, we get bad. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. This is a universal principle of all spiritual paths. That is on the level of Madhi and mind. But what Krishna is telling in Gita is real aim of life is to transcend the body and mind, to enter into that realm of consciousness that is eternal, that is within us, that is who we really are. Apare amitashtvanyam prakritim vidimeparam jivabhuta mahapaho yagetam targete jagat. That beyond these eight material elements of material nature, there is another nature, which is eternal, which is infallible, which is never destroyed. That is you. That is me. That is the soul. And that is the realm of consciousness where we all eternally belong. Now, how to achieve that while living in this world? How to be on the spiritual platform when this body has so many needs and wants? Theoretically, it sounds nice. Just, you know, sit in meditation and enter into that realm of eternality and shut off everything else. But there's a problem. Nobody could do it. Because you get hungry and you get sleepy. And so many other problems. And if you get hungry, you have to get a job because you have to feed yourself. And then we have, you know, we have passion. Many people have this passion. They can't just live in the jungle as celibate yogis. So what to do with that passion? And then what is the result of that passion? There's children. Or there's a very, very highly karmic reaction if you try to somehow or other subdue the natural growth of a child. Because that living entity has every right that we have. So Krishna is here explaining how we can live in this world and at the same time always be making spiritual progress. It is not that we have to deny the body or deny the mind or deny the basic needs. After all, in any society, basic principle is the family. And where there's healthy, loyal, and deep-rooted family development, family exchanges, society becomes strong. It is said a family that prays together stays together. But we have to pray for the right thing. So this is very important. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is spoken in this circumstance. Arjuna is a husband and a father of several children. He's also a man of the world in the sense that he was a warrior and a politician. He was a statesman. He had duties. His duties were to protect the society from evil and to nourish the society with their needs, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna and in the process is speaking to every living being. In this verse, he explains that one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. If we do good on a philanthropic platform, we get physical, mental good as a reaction. That is karma. If we cause any harm to anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, of course, it's more severe knowing and less severe unknowing, we get a reaction of various types of anxieties. But if we work for Krishna, if we work in a spirit of devotion with knowledge, then there's no karmic reaction. Rather, there is the uncovering of the unlimited wealth within the treasure house of our own soul. And here it is explained how to do this. First of all, there must be proper perception. And that perception is that we are all part of God. A person who is Krishna conscious or God conscious is servant of everyone. That is what Prabhupada says here. A devotee is a servant of all. Never master, always servant. In whatever position one may take, one may have different roles of serving, but the consciousness, the mentality is always servant. Why always servant? Because a devotee in the beginning theoretically understands that every living being is part of God. To serve God, you must serve His parts. There's an example. If you water the root of the tree, automatically all leaves and flowers of the tree are nourished. So if every living being is a child of God, it's my duty to serve everyone. That is why in Vaishnava culture, devotees address others as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. What does that mean? It means, I'm your servant. And that's not only for the devotees. It's even for the birds. And the dogs and the cats and the insects and the trees. According to our relationship, we want to serve. And in serving, we're trying to express our love for God. Therefore, our service is in consciousness of Krishna. Krishna explains in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost and he is never lost to me.
So how to see Krishna everywhere?
It is not that Krishna is everything, but at the same time, Krishna is everything. Does that make sense? No. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It is inconceivable. One indifference. A devotee asked our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, how can we always remember you? How can we always remember Krishna? That's what he said. How could we always remember Krishna? How could we actually see Krishna in everything? Srila Prabhupada gave a very, very practical example. He said, you see my spectacles? You see my spectacles here? He said, yes. What do you think in your heart when you see my spectacles? He said, I think these are Gurudev's spectacles. He said, so you are seeing me in the spectacles. Although I'm not the spectacles. I'm not a set of spectacles. But you see me in the spectacles because you see its relationship to me. You see its connection to me. That is how we see Krishna everywhere. The reality is every living being is part of Krishna, emanating from Krishna, and all things in material nature are emanating from Krishna. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. All material and spiritual existences are emanating from the Supreme. They are Krishna's energy. When the sun comes into the room, we think the sun has come. But actually, has the sun come? The energy of the sun has come. If the sun was to come, I don't know what... Well, I know what would happen. Scientists explain the miracle of creation. If the sun was just to shift slightly closer to the earth, we would be burnt to death. And if it would go a little, just slightly away from the earth, we would freeze to death. Yes? The sun is the greatest power within the material creation, within the universe. Nothing could live without the sun. The sun evaporates the water, creates the clouds, and makes the rain. The sun nourishes all living beings. The sun protects everybody from freezing or burning. Rama Samhita describes how the sun is an emanation of Krishna's energy. And we can also understand how when the sunlight comes into the room, the sun is here through its energy. But still, the sun is separate. In the same way, we see a relationship of everything that exists to Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mirchati. Krishna is the ultimate proprietor of everything. Krishna is the ultimate creator of everything. Everything emanates from him. And therefore, a devotee sees how to utilize every situation to reciprocate with Krishna, rather than to exploit the energies of Krishna. We want to use those energies to reciprocate with Krishna's love. That is the art of living in devotion. To understand it theoretically and to apply it to our life practically. There are so many conflicts in this world. There's conflict in the Middle East. There's conflict. When has there not been conflicts? Wars and prejudices, hot wars, cold wars. So many social communalism, fighting. And within people's minds there's so much conflict. Mental health depression. According to World Health Organization, by 2020, it will be the number one cause of suffering and death in the world, is mental illness, headed by depression. More than AIDS, more than hepatitis, more than cancer, more than heart disease. That's reality, according to the experts. Why? We have the best medicines we've ever had in this world, at least modern age. We have the best technology. Science has developed so much. We have incredible satellites and Sputniks and rocket ships. Instead of walking or taking trains, we're taking airplanes everywhere. Instead of writing, we're typing on computers. Instead of sending letters, we're sending emails. So much progress. But yet, mental health and depression is growing proportionately. It's a problem. If we want to create peace in the world, the first thing we have to do is create peace within our own hearts. And Krishna gives an easy formula. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatmamam shantim richchati. If we just understand that everything's coming from Krishna, therefore he's the proprietor of everything. He's our genuine well-wishing friend. Just cooperate with and believe what he says. He's spoken through so many scriptures throughout time to teach us how to be happy, how to be peaceful, how to love, and how to generate that. And to understand that ultimately everything should be for the enjoyment of God. To the extent we try to enjoy separately, we don't really enjoy. Gita says what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. What tastes like poison in the beginning tastes like nectar in the end. Children don't like to study in school. They'd rather play. But if they don't go to school and just play all their life, it will be nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. But do your studies. Might be difficult. You have to sacrifice so much. But in the end, you have a life. So much. Prosperity. That is in a worldly sense. That principle is there. That as long as we want to enjoy selfishly, we entangle ourselves in the networks of karma. But when we understand that we're servants of God and we respect and honor every living being as a part of God in the mood of service, then we're free of all karma. We can attain everlasting true peace. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to apply these principles to our everyday lives. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he came to the house of Kurma Brahman. There's a beautiful temple, Kurumakshetra, a beautiful ancient temple. Deity of Krishna who appeared long, long ago in the form of a gigantic tortoise to perform a very special mission within this world. So there's a temple honoring him where devotees have been worshipping for long, many, many ages. Recently, a few years ago, we went to that temple. Very, very beautiful. Very holy place. Well, about 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya, who's avatar of Lord Krishna, incarnation of God, God himself, he was dancing and singing the holy names in that temple. He was distributing love of God to everyone through the holy names. Cheto darapana marajanam bhava mahatavagni nivapanam. Because the name of God cleanses the heart and awakens our original, natural, eternal, spiritual consciousness. The name of God uncovers all the weeds and bushes that are just eclipsing any perception of the real flower of our consciousness. So tens and thousands of people were coming from all the local little villages and dancing and singing in great happiness. And one Brahmin named Kurma asked him, "Please come to my home." When the Lord came to his home, he was so grateful. He washed the Lord's feet, and then with that water, he drank it and sprinkled on his head. Then he gave it to all his family members to drink and sprinkled it on their heads. He said, "You are so kind. Your lotus feet are in my house. Brahma, Shiva, and all the greatest rishis and greatest souls, they are struggling and striving to meditate on these lotus feet. And they have come causelessly into my own house. Today, my life, my family, my wealth, my entire existence has become auspicious and successful because you have accepted my service." Now this means that this man was actually a wealthy person. He was very highly respected in society, and he also had a lot of wealth, very comfortable existence. But then he continued. He said, "My Lord, in this ocean of material existence, I am being bashed again and again by the waves of suffering. Therefore, I want to get out of here. My wish is to leave my home, to leave my duties, and to surrender to you and travel with you. Please fulfill my prayer." Lord Chaitanya looked at him very gravely and said, "Never speak like this again. Yari de katari kaha krishna upadesha maragoi guru hai tari desh. You stay home. Take care of your family. Perform your work. But do it in a spirit of devotion. Study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and these great scriptures. Teach pure bhakti, pure devotion to whoever you meet. And always chant the holy names. If you do this, you will never be entangled by the karmic sufferings of this world. If you do this, I will always be with you and you will always be with me." And actually, that's what Lord Chaitanya taught everyone during his travels. There is no reason that a person has to change his particular material situation. We just have to spiritualize it. How do we spiritualize it? We need spiritual guidance. We need to surcharge our hearts with knowledge and with spiritual power so that whatever we do, we can actually gradually do it in a spirit of devotion. Even our jobs, even our maintenance, no problem. If we're chanting the names of the Lord, if we're living according to high moral ethics in a spirit of servant, then everything we do will be spiritualized and we'll progress toward the ultimate goal. That is the purpose of New Vrindavan, according to Prabhupada's original ideal. Is that people come here and learn about these ideals and become very deeply committed to chanting God's name and purifying their heart and reading these wonderful literatures and associating with devoted people, then it becomes just natural that whatever we do, we want to do it in a spirit of love, in a spirit of devotion, as a spirit of service rather than exploitation. This exploitative mentality is a very deep-seated addiction, a conditioning that's so hard to give up. But if we just add the spirit of Krishna consciousness, add the spirit of devotion to whatever we do, the name of the Lord will cleanse all these conditionings and awaken. Awaken our true nature. So the next morning, Lord Chaitanya left. And as he was walking away, the Kurma Brahma followed him. Kept following him. Some distance away, Lord Chaitanya turned to him and said, "Go home. I've already told you what you must do. Follow these directions, we will always be together." One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone. Whether people know that you're dear to them or not, that may be something else. Prahlad Maharaj was dear to Hiranyakashipu, although actually Hiranyakashipu could not recognize it. But because a devotee is not envious of anyone, a devotee genuinely and selflessly and compassionately wants to serve everyone. Therefore, a devotee is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to that devotee. That is the beauty of living in the spiritual world, even while performing our duties within this world. He is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Prabhupada gives example of the residents of Vrindavan. You never see photos or hear about in songs or read about in scriptures the residents of Vrindavan just sitting in meditation. They were very busy people. They would be chanting the names of God together and singing together, but they would also be making garlands and preparing food and plowing the fields and so many. But everything was in a spirit of devotion to Krishna. Absorption in Krishna cleanses all misgivings from our hearts, because Krishna is all pure. Therefore, Rupa Goswami quotes from the scripture that all the instructions of all the scriptures of all the world are servants. They are all meant to serve the two ultimate instructions: to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna in all of our relationships, in everything we do. And that becomes simple when we actually develop a real taste for chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And now it is time for prasad. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.